You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Apologies for the delay getting this on your podcast feeds. We had a little bit of technical difficulties last night. Luckily, they've been resolved. Was able to get the podcast on YouTube now, finally able to have it on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to your podcast. On the show today, I talked about the game last night. I talked about Nick Plummer, who I really think has a chance to assume the role that Dominic Smith and previously Robinson Cano served this season as the left-handed part of the platoon at DH. So I talk about Plummer and also some of the other young players that could factor into the equation for the Mets in the final two segments today. And again, first segment, we talk about the rout of the Nationals as the Mets scored 13 runs to open up their series against Washington Monday night. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at Finkelstein Ryan. You can also find some of my writing at justbaseball.com, where I work as the managing editor. Now, the game recap today, we're not going to go inning by inning and talk about this rally here, this rally there, and how the Mets fared when the Nationals came to the plate, because honestly, it was just a complete blowout. The first three hitters in the Mets lineup, Luis Guillorme, Starling Marte, and Francisco Lindor, through the first three times through the order, went 8-for-8 with a walk, a home run, and five RBIs. The home run belonged to Starling Marte. The walk belonged to Guillorme. Lindor was 3-for-3. He extended his RBI streak to 8 consecutive games. And when you get that production out of your top three, you're going to win a lot of games, but then you get production out of everybody in the lineup and you pile on 13 runs on what was it? Or 16 hits. I was about to say 15 hits because I forgot they had the Pete Alonso home run that was the 16th hit in the ninth inning to put a cherry on top of the Sunday of just kicking the ass of the Washington Nationals. I don't even know how to describe what I'm watching with this Mets team some days because they are firing on all cylinders. And what's strange is you would think that you lose Jacob deGrom to start the season. That would be a huge hurdle this team couldn't climb over. And Tyler McGill steps in on opening day and pitches like an ace for the first month. Then he goes down. All right, how you can get by with that? McGill, you're happy you have David Peterson. And then as soon as McGill goes down, Max Scherzer goes down, how are you going to get by? Well, the bats need to step up. And what we've seen the last couple weeks is the Mets lineup can win games all by themselves. David Peterson was not great today. I mean, this was by far his worst outing of the year. Goes 4 2/3, can't get out of the fifth to get the easiest win of his career. Maybe there's been other routes he's been part of where he hasn't been able or where he has been successful to get those wins. But it doesn't get much better than getting spotted, crooked numbers in each of the first, whatever it was, four innings. This is the Mets just piled runs, time and time again. He gives up four runs on six hits, four walks, only one strikeout, left with the bases loaded. Colin Holderman was able to keep his line from getting even worse. But it didn't matter. Who cares about the pitching today? And we could talk about some great defense because Luis Guillorme is just on a whole nother level. I don't know if you've ever played like NBA Jam or what was it, NFL Blitz. Those guys, I know for sure NBA Jam, where a guy would get on fire and he'd be running around, literally on fire. That's the way Guillorme is playing baseball right now, but it's not the most flashy when he's hitting. He's dunking singles here, dunking singles there. But defensively, that's where the flash comes out. And today at second base, I mean, it's as much as I've loved watching Jeff McNeil play second base. And honestly, I think the Mets have two gold glove caliber second basemen on this team with McNeil and Guillorme. But with Guillorme, there's maybe just a little more smoothness to it. That the bearded magician, as Mike Mayer called him on Twitter today, he's just incredible out there. He makes one play where he runs in on a ball barehanded. You know, if makes the play to first. There was another play that I'm telling you, I've rarely seen a better flip on a double play. It didn't get turned, but you still have to appreciate it. Another kind of a slow roller. Guillorme started on the other side of the second base bag, maybe kind of directly behind it. He did a great job sort of wheeling around the grounder so he could field it and try to make a play. And no look shovels it over to Lindor right in his breadbasket, chest high, where he could make the turn. They didn't get the out at first base, but still just an unbelievable flip. He then had another double play they did turn where he had a diving stop. He threw it from his knees and his arm. It was almost like he had like a submarine throw where he threw it almost off the ground. Again, perfect feed to Lindor. Lindor had a couple double plays going the other way. It felt like Guillorme was involved in everything out there tonight. And offensively, he goes 2 for 3. He scores 3 runs, drew a walk, had an RBI. Just outstanding. And, you know, I know I have been the guy advocating for Guillorme to play. I talked about how, you know, after the 2020 season, I was saying this guy deserves an everyday type role. And then, you know, last year we had all of this saga with Jonathan Villar, where I hated VR because I wanted Guillorme to get playing time and I was worried VR would cut into that. And then injuries ended up really being the factor that kept Guillorme from really breaking out in 2021. But now we're seeing it this year. And at this point, how do you sit the guy? I mean, he's basically hitting .500 for an extended stretch right now. Every other at bat, he's getting a hit. He's having great at bats each time. You know, I like I said, I work for Just Baseball. And, you know, the founder of Just Baseball, who also, you know, used to host Locked On Marlins, Arm Layton, you know, he played high school baseball against Guillorme. And what he said was, you know, you were never worried about him going yard against you, but it seemed like he would get a hit every time up and would just be incredible over at shortstop in high school. And it's like whatever he was doing over at Coral Springs Charter, suddenly now, you know, 10 years later, he's in the big leagues doing that again, and it's just amazing to watch. You have Starling Marte getting red hot. He goes 3 for 4 in this game. 2 runs, 4 RBIs, had the homer. Lindor, 3 for 5, 2 RBIs. He now has 40 RBIs on the season. Third most in the National League behind Pete Alonso and Paul Goldschmidt. I know last year he didn't get his 40th RBI until September. He's got it, and we're not even in June. It's just insane. And with Lindor, you know, when the Mets made the trade, one of the things that I talked about back then was I said, you know, this is a guy that is capable of putting together an MVP season. Whether he would ever do that or not, we didn't know. But he has that amount of talent. And I also said he's a guy that can carry you for stretches. And maybe that was the better take, that he could carry you for stretches, not that he could be an MVP. You know, what we've seen this year, beginning of the season, he carried this lineup. Then he went really cold at the end of April, the beginning of May. And now, once again, absolutely red hot. But the thing that he gives you is consistency. We're seeing the defense has gotten back to that gold glove standard. He's giving you good at-bats. He's walking more than he ever did in Cleveland even. And suddenly, he's this run producer because he's right in the middle of a lineup where he's got a guy like Guillorme who's getting on base in front of him a ton. When it's not Guillorme, it's Nimmo. When it's not Nimmo, it's McNeil or Marte. And even Mark Canna. I mean, all of these guys just get on base. And they just give you so much traffic that when you're a run producer, you can just eat and feast and clean up. And that's what we've seen from Lindor. That's what we've seen from Pete Alonso. That's why they're two of the top three run producers in the National League right now. You know, Pete Alonso didn't even have a great day. He wasn't even involved in all the action other than drawing a walk. He was 0 for 3 in his first, you know, 4 trips to the plate with that walk. And then, you know, to put the icing on top, hits his 13th home run of the season late. Jeff McNeil, the only guy in the lineup that doesn't get a hit in this game. I don't think he's going to want to be DHing again after this one. 0 for 5, not a great performance from him, but it didn't matter. Eduardo Escobar was 1 for 5, scored a run. Mark Canna, 2 for 4 with a walk. He scored 3 runs. And then Nick Plummer, we're going to talk about a lot throughout the show today. You know, he had a huge, huge performance, 3 for 4, had an RBI double, and had a home run, 4 RBIs altogether. Tomas Nito closed out the lineup. He went 1 for 4, scored a run. Bottom line, though, this team just continues to score. And now you're looking at 2 more games against the Nationals, and this is a team that was coming off a doubleheader that now just completely gassed their bullpen. you can continue to carry this momentum. And I don't want to say it's a must sweep or anything like that, because it's a baseball game. Anything can happen tomorrow. For whatever reason, Patrick Corbin, as a left-handed pitcher, can go 7 scoreless against the Mets, and you'll just be scratching your head thinking, what is going on here? We never know, okay? Baseball, anything can happen. But this is feeling like a potential 6-game winning streak. If they can continue what they've done the last couple games here and they can do what they're supposed to against a bad team, you can be just on cloud 9 when you hit that West Coast trip. And maybe that momentum carries over. And while I think a lot of us are looking at that West Coast swing and thinking, you know, we'll see how many wins they can get out there. You never know. They could go out West and be over 500. They could win all 3 of those series. You can't count this team out the way they're playing. And it's just a great brand of baseball to watch. But what I want to do is focus in on Nick Plummer, because he's been really the headliner over the last couple of days. I want to talk about, for those who maybe weren't listening throughout the offseason, we were doing some of our previews and stuff, don't really know where this guy came from. I want to kind of, you know, bring you up to speed a bit on Nick Plummer and talk about what he could mean for this Mets team throughout the rest of the season. Before we get to that, though, our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. Find the latest odds, news, sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. So one of the best moves the Mets made this offseason was signing Nick Plummer as a minor league free agent. This is a guy that was a former first-round pick by the St. Louis Cardinals. We actually learned tonight he was the first first-round pick out of Michigan for a position player since Derek Jeter. So some elite company there. He's always been a toolsy-type prospect, but early in his career, he really struggled to find consistency. Wasn't a great hitter throughout, had a lot of moving parts to his swing. He ended up adjusting things in 2021 after missing the 2020 season, like everybody, when the minor league baseball was canceled due to COVID. He comes back with more of a preload setup, just trusts his natural athleticism to generate his power, simplified his approach, and suddenly unlocked things for himself. Last year, he hit 280 in Double A and Triple A combined, 415 on base, 479 slugging, had 20 doubles, 6 triples, and 15 home runs, so 41 extra base hits. And you're talking about, it was less than 120 games. I don't have it exactly in front of me. I think it was 117 games to have 41 extra base hits. It's really, really solid. The reason why he was up for grabs is because the Cardinals had a lot of different guys that they were trying to feed time to. They have Lars Nootbaar, who, if you might remember, was the guy that robbed a home run from Pete Alonso at Citi Field last year. I remember because I was at the game, and I also may or may not have had a 2-home run prop at BetOnline on Pete Alonso that game. He hit the first home run right by me. Second one, Nootbaar robbed, and I was devastated. But they have Nootbaar, they have Juan Yepes, who right now is currently doing a great job at the big league level. So they just had a lot of different, you know, bats and a lot of guys vying for playing time. And so Nick Plummer ultimately was, you know, a 40-man roster casualty, and he was up for the taking. Anybody could have got them or got him. And I think very similar to Sam McWilliams last year when the Mets signed a tall pitcher who had a lot of promise, a lot of teams were interested in. I think that they were able to basically outpay the opposition to land a guy. They did that with McWilliams. It didn't pan out. And they did that with Nick Plummer. And I mean, you signed him and he's basically a top 10 prospect in your system immediately. That's how good he could be. That's how much promise was there. If you go back into the offseason, I was talking a lot about Nick Plummer and Khalil Lee and how I kind of like Plummer a little bit more than Khalil Lee, just because of the more simple approach, because we saw Khalil Lee really struggle at the big league level. And I wasn't quite sure what the Mets had in Lee. And I looked at Plummer as a guy that made Khalil Lee a little bit more expendable if they had to make a trade this offseason. So we were talking about Plummer a lot, you know, with Jordan Grossman on a Friday Farm Reports. We didn't know exactly what he would look like, and the early returns didn't blow you away. I'm in AAA, hit 250, 313 on base, 511 slugging, 6 home runs, 5 doubles, 21 RBIs. But what you see with Nick Plummer is just an elite athlete. I mean, the guy is yoked. There's no other way to say it. I think Ronnie said in the game tonight, he looks like a fullback. I mean, that's what you're talking about. They have him listed at 5'10", 220. And when you're talking about a guy that has legs that look like tree trunks, when he gets a pitch he can handle, he's going to launch. And we see the home run that ties the game in that big spot. You know, right field hits just a complete laser beam. Tonight, we saw a couple extra base hits to the opposite field. First, the double, then hits one out to left center. There's a lot here that I like with Nick Plummer. Now, defensively, I don't know if I really see him as a fourth outfielder because I don't really see him in center field. He's already looked lost on a couple balls out there. He's not really heralded for the glove. It's more the bat that you're looking at. But this is why when we were talking about demoting Dominic Smith, Plummer is one of the names that I mentioned last week because I see him as someone that could slide right into that role that Dom's had this season as the left-handed half of the DH platoon, a role that Robinson Cano had and really struggled with. And so he ends up getting cut. And then Dom gets the job. And he just certainly has not run away with it. This year, Dominic Smith's hitting 186, 287 on base, 256 slugging. He has 5 extra base hits and 86 at-bats this year. Nick Plummer now has what? 3 and 2 starts? Does he even have 10 at-bats yet? I'm racking my brain, probably right around there, less than 15. And he's already two shy of Dominic Smith, who's gotten way more playing time. As much as I love Dom, I do. You know, I have my Dom Bomb shirt. We've been watching Dominic Smith for years. He had flashes of greatness in 2019. He was extremely solid in the first half of that season, although it was the juice ball year. Then you have, you know, the 2020 season when the guy was like a top 20 hitter based on weighted runs created plus. It's crazy the highs he's had, but the lows have really been pronounced as well. You had the first couple years of his career where it was before they figured out the sleep apnea and he started to lose a little bit of weight and get his sleep right. And that seemed to help him in 2019 and 2020. And you thought he turned a corner, but then in 2021, Dom completely regressed. And now this year we're seeing it as well. And I just don't know where you really are with Dominic Smith at this point. So for me, when it comes to Nick Plummer, you're talking about a guy that's clearly hot, a left-handed bat. He's 25 years old. He's big league ready. So at the moment, no reason to rock the boat. But one of the things that I've also discussed is that Jake Mangum is currently in AAA tearing the cover off the ball. He was tearing the cover off the ball in AA. He got the promotion to AAA. And he is the type of a carbon copy of a Travis Jankowski that I think actually offers more upside to the Mets when it comes to Mangum over Jankowski, because I think the bat maybe has a little more juice to it. But when it comes to the role, Mangum fits as your fourth outfielder that you can sub Mark Canna out late in game and put him out in left, or you can have him start in center field when Brandon Nimmo needs a day to keep that outfield defense good. Mangum, a guy that, you know, when you have a runner on second and you're trying to score him to win a game, he could be the pinch runner. I see him fitting really well into that role that Jankowski thrived in with a little bit more to his bat. And I see Plummer as a guy that can really take the DH job right now and run with it. And at the moment, JD Davis is going to be half of that DH role, maybe. You know, he's hitting 220 this year, not great, 322 on base, 338 slugging, 6 extra base hits, 660 OPS, but he has hit the ball hard. And so currently, I think his spot is still safe there, but you also have Guillorme tearing it up a little bit. So you could also see the Mets putting Guillorme at third and putting Escobar into that DH role a little bit, with Plummer getting time as well. I just think Nick Plummer right now has shown us a higher ceiling than Cano has this year, than Dom or JD has this year, than Escobar has to a certain extent, even though you know he's going to continue to get playing time. So when I'm looking at this Mets team, I think Nick Plummer, at least currently, deserves some run, deserves some playing time. See what you have in him, because what you've gotten out of Dominic Smith this year, it's just not enough that it warrants continuing to feed him at bats, and Buck Showalter is going to spread the playing time. We've seen it this year. I just don't necessarily know if that's the best call. If you were to demote Dominic Smith, which sucks, like I hate being the one that's out there right now saying demote Dominic Smith, because I've been such a fan of him and he's such an awesome dude, but let him get some consistent playing time in Syracuse. Let him play first base down there and see if he can get comfortable and get hot and get his swing right. And maybe there's going to be another time this year when you need Dominic Smith, or maybe he's a guy that you can throw into a trade at the deadline and you can send him to a place where his career can take off. But currently, I just don't necessarily see the role with this Mets team. And I think that role should go to a Nick Plummer. And if you do that, you can try it out. And if it doesn't work, maybe Dom, after a couple weeks in Syracuse, is ready to take his job back. So that's where I'm at right now with Nick Plummer. I think he's flashed enough, obviously, that he deserves to continue to get playing time. He's not going to be out there against Patrick Corbin. I doubt it. But I imagine he starts the last game of this series. And then I'm sure he's going to see a lot better pitching out west. And, you know, when you're going up against potentially like a Walker Buehler, we'll see how he fares. He might not fare anywhere near as well when he's not going up against, you know, the Eric Fettys of the world. But early returns, again, look really good. Now, expanding this out a little bit, I do want to talk about this idea of what the Mets have been this year and what they can be. Because I think Buck Showalter really has done a great job mixing and matching his players and keeping everybody fresh and, you know, utilizing the DH, where he'll have Pete Alonso DH a day and he'll have Francisco Lindor get off his feet. Then he'll get Guillorme out there or Dom out there to sub in for those guys. And we've just seen a lot of creativity with the way this roster is managed. And I think I like the defined roles that the Mets have carved out, but I believe that there's prospects that can fill those roles better. We just talked a lot about Plummer over Dominic Smith. A guy we talked about on Friday's show is Mark Vientos. I look at Mark Vientos, and one of the things I've been saying since the offseason is that JD Davis is blocking Vientos. I would love to get to a point, maybe it's the trade deadline, that this can all coincide, where a JD Davis could be flipped and you can clear that right-handed half of the platoon for Vientos. I would love if in the second half of the season, maybe it's Plummer Vientos instead of Dom JD. And you got some fresh blood that, you know, will have a lot of energy. And who knows, maybe these are guys that have real staying power at the big league level that can just provide a little bit more. When it comes to home run juice, I certainly think Plummer and Vientos give you way more than JD and Dom. And another, you know, player that I've already talked about today is Mangum, filling in that Jankowski role. I think I really do see the value in what Jankowski was providing when it comes to his defense and his speed. I think Mangum can do that. And so with this youth movement, suddenly the Mets have some really interesting prospects that I think can help you win right now. And it's the future a little bit. You don't know what's going to happen beyond this season with a Brandon Nimmo. Maybe the Mets re-sign him. Maybe he walks. Who knows? But if suddenly you've gotten this great contribution from Nick Plummer this season, maybe that loss wouldn't be as bad. Maybe you're going into next season and you're saying, all right, Starling Marte, you're a center fielder again. Who knows? But what's great is that when you have this confluence of youth and veterans, it seems like that's how the best teams are built. When it comes to this season, we're certainly seeing that. I think it's been awesome to see that, as much as Lindor has been everything to this Mets team, in my opinion, and Starling Marte and Mark Canna have really filled, you know, big roles for this team as well. One of the big driving engines of what's had the Mets rolling all year is Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, Brandon Nimmo, and Louis Guillorme at times as well. Homegrown guys that have really just come into their own this season. And that is something that is always fun to watch when you were able to sort of follow the development as it's tracked to this point. And again, it's just a roster that just finds a way to win games. And it's so much fun to watch right now. They're a team that is running away with this division. I mean, you look up right now and you check the current standings in the National League East. The Mets have a 9.5 game lead over the Braves, 11.5 game lead over the Phillies, 12 game lead over the Marlins, 15 game lead over the Nationals. We know the Nationals were never going to contend. The Marlins, the way they're playing, they're heading close to another rebuilding season where they might be tearing down at the deadline instead of adding. The Phillies can't get out of their own way. The Braves are still a team that you have to be wary of. But the Mets, if they keep doing what they're doing, they're 16 games over 500 right now. Keith Hernandez on the broadcast tonight was saying the next benchmark is to get to 20 games over. We'll see if they can do that. Like I said, things get tougher when you go on the road, but would we be shocked at all if this weekend the Mets take 3 or 4 from the Dodgers? I don't know if I would be that shocked. I don't. Because the Phillies took 3 or 4 against the Dodgers, and I don't know what their rotation looked like at that time, but I know what their defense looked like. I know what their bullpen looked like. And if they can manage that, if they could get the bats going like that in LA, no reason the Mets can't get their bats going like that. And you certainly like the Mets, ability to hold leads better than the Dodgers. Better than the Phillies against the Dodgers. So, we'll see what happens this weekend. Two more against the Nationals. Finish the job here. You got Trevor Williams on the mound against Patrick Corbin, a pitching matchup I can't figure out at all, because you'd think that the Mets will feast against Corbin, but it's a lefty. So we'll see. And we'll see what Trevor Williams gives the Mets. The bullpen is a little bit taxed, so hopefully Williams can get the Mets through at least 4, if not 5. And then, Carlos Carrasco maybe has to carry a little bit more of a burden in the final game of this series, giving the Mets some length before they head out west. But it's fun to be a Mets fan right now. Anyway, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB, hosted by Paul Francis Sullivan. Locked On MLB is where you can go to stay up to date with everything going on in Major League Baseball. You can follow Locked On MLB wherever you get podcasts.